Hello, church family. So good to see you again. I pray that your heart is being established and settled and rooted and grounded in the love that God has for you. Last week, we saw 2 points that God loves his enemies and that we can be imitators of God, that the Bible says in 1 John 3, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we could be called children of God, that we are children of the one who loves us, that we can experience a love that is unconditional, that God loves his enemies, and that's why he says that we can love our enemies. And the second point we looked at is that we can understand mercy, because the Bible says that be merciful even as your heavenly Father is merciful. That Jesus said, go and learn what this means, that I desire mercy and not sacrifice, that mercy is connected to the mercy seat. It's God's intent, his desire, his passion from the depths of who he is to treat you and I better than we deserve. And it's when we begin to learn that God is merciful that we can begin to extend mercy to other people. Today I'm going to talk about God, understanding, believing, trusting in God's love that will overcome a sense of rejection. How we can live rejection proof, that we can live with a sense of God's acceptance in our lives. And I'm going to start by reading Ephesians chapter 1. We've looked at this portion of scripture a few times, but I'm going to read it out the New American Standard and then the Living Bible. But in the New American Standard, in verse 1 and 2, Paul starts off this letter to the Ephesians like this. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that Paul opens the letter with grace and peace. He's saying, listen, I'm being led, I'm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and I want you, church, to know that you need to interpret everything that I say through grace and peace, knowing that we need that his grace is at work within us, his ability, that we work and experience all of who God is by his wonderful grace working in us, and that he is at peace with us so that we can be at peace with others. I like the way it says it in Ephesians in the Living Bible, and we're going to read from verses 1 to 8 together. He says it this way, dear Christian friends in Ephesus, ever loyal to the Lord, this is Paul writing to you, chosen by God to be Christ's messenger. Verse 2, may his blessings and peace be yours, sent to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. How we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing in heaven because we belong to Christ. Verse 4, long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in his eyes, without a single fault. We who stand before him, covered with his love. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. Now all praise to God for his wonderful kindness to us and his favor that he has poured out upon us because we belong to his dearly loved Son. So overflowing in his kindness toward us, so that he took away all our sins through the blood of his Son by whom we are saved. And he has showered down upon us the riches of his grace for how well he understands us and knows what is best for us at all times. Notice in verse 4 there, it says that God chose us. That we have been chosen before the foundation of the world. There is no illegitimate child in the kingdom of God. And then he says that we are blameless. That means to be without a single fault. And Alfred did a great job of showing that we are holy and blameless in him. But he's saying there that you are without a single fault. He says you have no fault in God's eyes. You might do a fault, but you are not a fault. I love the way it says that. In verse 4 there, then he goes on and he says, and you are covered by his love. This is what a true covering is. You know, religious mindset said that we need to get under some covering. Well, here's the answer to the covering. The Bible says that we are covered by his love. That is what true covering is. And then he goes into verse 5 and he talks about adoption. You know what's incredible about being a parent? Anybody can be a parent. Any adult can be a parent. You don't have to have experience to be a parent. You've just got to be an adult. So I don't need qualifications for that. I don't need to do anything except be a man to produce children. And the same with being a woman. It's very, very different with adoption. Adoption means that I get to see who I'm wanting to be a part of my family. That's very, very powerful. And you know, this is exactly what God has done. God looked at you. He looked at me with everything that is in me, every good part of me and every bad part of me. God looked at me. He decided from the beginning of time, with warts and all, that He was going to adopt me into His family. He knows what He is getting when He adopts me. And it's the same with you. When God looked at you, He knew what He was getting. Because you might be saying, well, Flip, I don't know if I want to become a child of God, because God, you really know what you're getting when you get me. When God adopted you into the family, into His family, He knew exactly what He was getting. And in verse 5 there at the end of that, in the King James Version, it says, and it gave Him great pleasure to do this. It was the good pleasure of His will. God has taken great pleasure in taking you, warts and all, and adopting you and making you His own. You know, what is amazing to me is we are teaching the angels. We are displaying the wisdom of God to angels, that God would take fallen human beings and He would go and pay a price for them and extend mercy and kindness and goodness and invite them into a relationship with Himself based on His good works, not on mankind's good works, based on His mercy and His kindness and His goodness, and invite them into a relationship with Him as the God who is good to all. That is amazing. And all He asks for us to do is to accept this love. And the Bible says when we do that, we will shine like stars. In verse 6 here in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, and we are accepted in the Beloved. That is amazing. So in this relationship of adoption, we never ever have to fear God rejecting us, because the Bible says that we are accepted in the Beloved because He loves us and He accepts us. You know, there is something about rejection that most human beings have experienced or go through or are living with. And it's only when we believe and trust in the goodness and the love of God that we can get over our rejection issues. There are two examples in Luke 5 that I want to go through this morning with you about people who lived rejected lives. And the first is from verses 12 and 13. And this is the story of the leper in Luke 5. And it says it this way. While he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored Him, saying, Lord, if You're willing, You can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched Him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. The second story is in the rest of Luke chapter 5 from verse 27 onwards. And it reads like this. After that, Jesus went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax booth. And He said to him, follow Me. And he left everything behind and got up and began to follow Him. And Levi gave a big reception for Him in his house, and there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with Him. The Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at His disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered and said to them, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, both of these instances, one is a leper and one is a tax collector, but both of them experienced or were living with rejection issues. Now, the leper was living with rejection issues because of what he looked like. Because notice the question that he asked Jesus, please, can You make me clean? Because he did not feel clean. He felt dirty. He looked ridiculous. He had pieces of his body that were falling off. So because of this, he lived in a society that completely rejected him because of the way that he looked, because of the way that he smelled, because of his upbringing, because of the experience and the circumstance that he was involved in and that he was a part of. All of society rejected him. So he was rejecting people because of who he was, not necessarily because of anything else, just because of what he had in him, because of what his body, what he was going through in life. He was living a life that was being rejected by everybody around him. And notice when he comes to Jesus, he said, listen, if You're willing, you know, we never doubt God's ability, his power to heal us, but we often question, will he? Is he willing to help me? Is he willing to make me feel clean? Is he willing to wash me and cleanse me and make me whole? And the Bible says that Jesus came and touched him and he said, I am willing. And immediately he was cleansed. Jesus helped him get over those issues where he's been rejected by society, and he washes him and he cleanses him and he makes him whole again. The second one is the tax collector. Now notice, in those days, tax collectors were rejected by all of society because a tax collector wasn't rejected by society because of the way that he looked or because of what he was going through. He was rejected by society because he himself chose his profession. And he was taking from his own countrymen, and he was paying the Roman government, and he was getting rich off of these things. And the Bible talks about tax collectors and sinners, saying that tax collectors were worse than sinners. So he was living a rejected life because he chose this lifestyle. He chose to be rejected. Yet Jesus did something extremely powerful. He said to him, listen, Levi, I'm going to come and I'm going to spend time with you. He came to him. Even though we are rejected by society, even though we might have something that we are experiencing rejection because of the way we look or our circumstances, or because we are choosing to reject society, Jesus comes to us. Just like he came to the leper, just like he came to this tax collector. He comes and he reaches down into our mess, into our uncleanness, into our rejection. And he comes and he says, I'm going to make you clean. I'm going to love you exactly where you are. I don't need you to fix yourself. I don't need you to clean yourself up. I don't care what you're doing, whether you're rejecting others because of your own rejection issues. I don't know. I don't care about those things. I'm going to come to you. You don't have to come to me, try and fix yourself. I'm going to come to you. And it's my love that will fix you. It's my love that will cleanse you. And this is exactly what happened with this Levi, because the Bible says that Jesus said, I'm going to come and eat with you. And he invites him, he comes to his house, and then he throws a big party for all the other tax collectors, the Bible says here. And this made the religious people mad, because they asked the question, how come you hang out and eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus says, hey, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I want to let you know, friend, that Jesus is the one who comes to you. Jesus is the one who has chosen you. Jesus is the one who comes and he eats with you. Jesus is the one who says, in those days, if you ate with somebody, you considered them a friend. Jesus is the one who comes to you and he calls you friend. He's the one who comes and he loves you and he deals with our rejection issues so that we can become whole. You know, oftentimes rejected people feel like there is no place for them. And I want to let you know that there is place in the kingdom of God for you, because Jesus accepts you and he accepts me for who we are. You know, rejected people have this desire to be accepted, yet their very heart won't accept love and friendship and acceptance from others, the very thing that we need. When we are feeling rejected, if our heart, our deep, our identity is that of somebody who is a rejected person, the very thing that we need and want from other people is a very thing that will push people away, because that's what we believe in our hearts. We don't believe we are worthy of being loved. We don't believe that we are worthy of being accepted. And it's the very thing that will make us whole. So we live behind our masks. Now, right now in COVID-19, we are living behind these masks. We are living behind these things. So we can't really see the true emotion. Whether somebody, you can, might be able to see something in their eyes, but more often than not, you don't know if somebody's scowling, sticking their tongue out at you, if they are happy or sad or angry at you, because you can't see their mouth. And oftentimes we wear these masks also to protect ourselves. Like we've been told, wear a mask to protect yourself. And we wear these masks to try and protect ourselves, yet they're the very things that are making us sick. You know, rejected people are afraid to give and to receive love. So they look for their identity in their masks and the things that they think that will protect them. Rejected people are living their lives trying to get everybody around them to prove themselves, to see whether they are worthy to give and receive love from people. Rejected people want people to love them, but they're actually pushing people away from them, and they will sabotage their relationships because they will reject you first before you can reject them. You know, it's amazing to see this, you know, and then we want to blame people who have walked away from us, yet we are the very people who have rejected them. You know, so we project onto others who we really are. And the problem with this is that if we have rejection issues, we then are waiting for people to prove themselves before we will even love and accept them. Yet the very thing that we need is love and acceptance from God so that we can give it away. Let's read Colossians chapter 1 from 19 to 23 in the Living Bible. It says from verse 19, "For God wanted all of himself to be in his Son." So the way that Jesus treats every one of us and the way that he treated people in the Gospels is the way that God treats you and I. Verse 20, "It was through what his Son did that God cleared a path for everything to come to him. All things in heaven and on earth. For Christ's death on the cross has made peace with God for all by his blood." God is at peace with you and I. Verse 21, "This includes you who were once so far away from God. You were his enemies and hated him and were separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has brought you back as his friends." Isn't it wonderful to know that God is at peace and he's welcomed you back as his friends? Verse 22, "He has done this through the death on the cross of his own human body. And now as a result, Christ has brought you into the very presence of God, and you are standing there before him with nothing left against you, nothing left that he could even chide you for." This is good news, friend. In verse 22, it says that Jesus Christ has brought you into the very presence of God. And I like the way it says here, "and there is nothing left against you. There is nothing left that he could even chide you for." Friend, there is nothing that God can chide you for. The word chide there means to rebuke you or to find fault with you. You are standing in the presence of God. You might be saying, "Steve, but you don't know what I've done." Well, my friend, you don't know what Jesus has done. Look what Jesus has done. He's saying, "You have been brought into the very presence of God, and there is nothing left that is against you." In Romans 8:31, it says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" There is nothing that is against you here in the presence of God. There is nothing left that God will chide you or chastise you for any longer. In verse 23, "The only condition is that you fully believe the truth, standing in it steadfast and firm, strong in the Lord, convinced of the good news that Jesus died for you, and never shifting from trusting him to save you. This is the wonderful news that came to each of you and is now spreading all over the world. And I, Paul, have the joy of telling it to others." Notice he's saying the only condition is to believe this truth. Begin to believe the truth that Jesus Christ died for you. He's saying here, Jesus Christ paid a price for you. You have value. You are not rejected by God. You are accepted by God. He welcomes you into his presence. And you stand before him with no sense of lack, with no charge against you. You are spotless, you are holy, you are blameless, you are without fault. God is not chiding or chastising you. He's saying, "All I ask is that you stand in the truth and you believe the truth that you have value, because he died for you to show you your value. God loves you and he accepts you just the way you are." You might be saying, "Well, God, I'm coming to you and I've got all of these issues and I'm like this and I'm like that." Listen, God has the emotional capacity to handle you. Whatever issue you might have, you can bring it into the presence of God, because his love is extravagant, it's overwhelming, it's outrageous, and his love is more than what your problem or insecurity might be. I love this in verse 22. "He has done this through the death on the cross of his own human body, and as a result, Christ has brought you into the very presence of God. There is nothing that is against you." So you might be saying, "Steve, how do I overcome rejection then? How do I get through this?" Well, number one, you need to stand in the truth of this very fact that God has determined your value. He paid a price for you. He went to the cross for you. He's shown you how much he loves you, that you stand. You need to stand in the truth that you are holy and blameless. You need to stand in the truth that you are not rejected by God, that you're accepted and you are loved, that he chose you from the foundation of the world. In overcoming rejection, you also, when you begin to believe this and receive this, you have to give this away. For you to experience the fulfillment of grace, for this to begin to be activated, it's by believing the truth of it and then giving it away. Let's read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfilled. Now, I mean, this is how he's saying, this is how we can express the kingdom of God. We can express it through the comfort of love. We can express it through the fellowship of the Spirit. We can express it through affection and mercy. Verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Verse 4, let each of you look not out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Notice here, he's saying, Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. You know, our masks that we wear are a mask of reputation. It's a mask that we want to present to other people. And notice here, he's saying that Jesus made himself of no reputation, no masks at all. And he's saying that we need to have the same mind. Jesus was sinless. He was God, 100% God, but he was 100% man. And the Bible says he humbled himself. He became a man just like you and I, and he expressed the value that you and I have by taking on our weaknesses and our condition, even though he was God. And he made himself of absolutely no reputation. He wasn't looking for a reputation. The Bible says he became obedient even until death. He became a servant, the Bible says. So he wasn't looking for affirmation and acceptance from any man. Why? Because he lived under the affirmation and the acceptance of his Father. And we know the scripture in Matthew 3:17 in the Amplified, it says a voice spoke out from heaven when he was baptized in the river Jordan. And it says, and behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, my beloved, in whom I delight. God speaking over Jesus before Jesus had done any miracle. In the Contemporary English Bible, it says a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him. In the Message, it says, this is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life. So even though Jesus had took on the form of a servant, he humbled himself. He could do anything as a servant because he was living under the affirmation of his Father's love. He knew that his Father delighted in him, so he could serve anything and in any way that he wanted. And he's saying, let us have the same mind. Let us not be stingy in our love. He's saying, let us also be liberal by taking on the form of a love slave. Let us be liberal and generous in our love to others. So he's saying, the less that I need, the more I can give. And that is the same in prosperity, isn't it? So the less that I need, the more I can give. So you cannot offend somebody who's a love slave. You cannot offend somebody whose motivation is to serve you. So if I say, please clean my car. Yes, I'll clean your car. Okay, I'll do that for you. My job is to serve you. I can do that. I can't be offended if you ask me to serve my car. It's like, well, polish my shoes. Okay, I'll polish your shoes because my motivation is to serve you. It's not to get anything from you. It's not to get your acceptance or your love. My job is, because I'm living under the affirmation and the love of my Father, I can serve you. And he's saying, let us have the same mind. So he's saying, listen, if you're struggling with rejection issues, the best way to get over your rejection issues is stop looking for love and acceptance and affirmation from people. Begin to receive the love and the affirmation and the acceptance that God has given you, that he's adopted you, that he's chosen you, that you are marked by his love, that you are the focus of his love, that he's accepted you, you're accepted in the beloved, that he's not rebuking and chiding you, that there is no charge against you. When you live in this place of his acceptance, that he comes to you, if you're a leper Or if you are Levi the tax collector, Jesus comes to you, accepts you just the way you are. And so that is why you can take on his affirmation and you can begin to live this by expressing it to others. Instead of looking for others to accept you, you can take a step of faith and begin to accept others. Instead of waiting for people to love you, you can take the love that God has given you and you can begin to express that by loving others. Jesus, as a man, experienced rejection. But he didn't allow the rejection from people to determine who he was or his identity because he was living out of the affirmation of his Father. Listen to these scriptures in 1 Peter 2:4. It says, as you come to him, the living stone, who was rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. So Jesus lived with this sense, man, I'm chosen by God. Even though men might reject me, it doesn't matter. I'm going to still love and accept and value people, even though they might reject me. In Isaiah 53:3, talking about Jesus, it says he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. In the contemporary English version, it says he was hated and rejected. His life was filled with sorrow and terrible suffering. No one wanted to look at him. We despised him and said, he is a nobody. Friends, I want to let you know that even though Jesus went through that, he never ever allowed it to define him. And he became a love slave to love and to serve you and I so that we could experience the love and the goodness and the kindness and the acceptance of our Heavenly Father. I'm going to close with these few scriptures just to encourage you and let you know that you've got a loving Heavenly Father who has done everything possible so that you could come into his presence and receive the love that he is so generously giving. In Isaiah 49:15, it says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. You might have been rejected by your parents, but I want to let you know God doesn't reject you. He's the one who has chosen you. He's adopted you. You are not an illegitimate, accidental child. No, God has seen you from the foundation of the world and he's adopted you into his family. Psalm 27:10 says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Listen, maybe your family have pushed you away. I want to let you know, Jesus has received you. Psalm 94:14 says, for the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. And the Bible says that you are a co-inheritor with him. He will never ever reject you, but he has accepted you. Romans 8:31, if God is for you, who will be against you? Psalm 139:13-14 says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You've been created and intricately sculpted together by God himself. He loves you and accepts you. Psalm 34 from verse 17 says, when his people pray for help, he listens and rescues them from their troubles. The Lord is there to rescue all who are discouraged and have given up hope. The Lord's people may suffer a lot, but he will always bring them safely through. Not one of their bones will ever be broken. God hears you. He knows you. He accepts you. He values you. And I'm going to close with Romans 8:15-16 in two portions of scripture, the Living Bible and the Passion Translation. And I love it the way it says it in these two portions of scripture. Verse 15, it says, so we should not be like cringing, fearful slaves, but we should behave like God's very own children, adopted into the bosom of his family and calling to him, Father, Father. For his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we really are God's children. In the Passion Translation, it says, and you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, You are God's beloved child. And since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. Friends, I want to let you know that you are God's beloved child. He delights in you. He has chosen you. He values you. You don't have to live a life rejected. You don't have to worry about being rejected by people around you. When you begin to believe the truth of God's love for you, when you are living under the affirmation, the encouragement, and the inspiration of his love, where you are rooted and grounded in the love that he has for you, when you begin to believe that you are his beloved child, then you can get over your rejection issues and begin to extend love and acceptance and mercy to those around you. And you will start to experience the fulfillment of grace and the ability of God, because you are believing the truth and standing in the truth that you are valuable and precious in his eyes. And then you are beginning to express that to others, that they are valuable and loved and the delight of God. And watch what will happen to your own rejection issues. They begin to fade away because you are not living for people's acceptance, because you are living under God's acceptance. And because you are living in God's acceptance, you can begin to accept others and not fear the rejection of man. You can get over those things so quickly because you know that God delights in you, that God has determined you as the focus of his love. So I want to encourage you, friends. I want to encourage you, family. Get established and rooted and grounded in the love of God and overcome your rejection issues. If you've been rejected by people, or you yourself are rejecting people, God loves you at your very worst. He comes to you and he says, listen, it's time for you to extend mercy and begin to be an expression of eternal life that is within you, an expression of unconditional love to those that are around you. So I'm going to pray for you. And if you wouldn't mind just closing your eyes and standing in agreement with me, and if this message has touched you in some way where you are like, man, I need to get over some of these rejection issues in my life, I want to ask you, open up your heart and allow the love of God to flood and fill you this morning, and that you can experience his love and acceptance in a powerful and new way and begin to extend that to other people. Why don't you close your eyes, pray after me, and pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you that my heart is open to you. Thank you, Father, that I choose to believe and stand in the truth that you died for me, that you consider me as valuable and as precious, as chosen in your sight, that you will never ever chide me, that I stand in your presence because of Jesus, without fault, completely holy, completely blameless, and that there is nothing left against me. There is nothing that you will ever chide me for. I thank you, Father, that it's in this environment where I choose to believe that I'm accepted with all of my faults, with all of my mistakes, with every wrongdoing that I've ever done. Father, that you still choose me, that you knew what you were getting when you chose me. And I thank you, Father, that I believe that I'm accepted in the Beloved, that I'm accepted by you. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you, Father, that you love me this way, that you love me with an unconditional love. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you, friends. I can't wait for you to come and enjoy a live service with us. If you can't meet with us, if you're in another location, I pray that you'll stay connected with us. But if you are close to Knysna, come and enjoy a service with us, and not only just hear great information and a good word, but come and encounter God himself and his love. We'd love to have you. Can't wait to see you. Always remember, you are highly favored and deeply loved of God.